how many of us can actually raise our hand and say, I grew up in a haunted house? I'd be really curious to know the answer to that question. In fact, it's something I'm going to start asking in the next year when I go out on tour with Real Ghost Stories Online. I think the number may be higher than a lot of us think. Everybody seems to have a ghost story. It's not always in our own homes, though. I, for one, honestly can say, no, I don't think my house was haunted. I really don't. I don't have any stories of that property that lead me to believe that there was anything ghostly living there. Although, wait. See, that's what happens. That's exactly what happens. Is it the house that's haunted, though, or is it something that's in the house that haunts it? Only thing I can look back on in that house and go, that seemed paranormal, was my cat. After it died, I could still feel it jump up on the bed every single night. And it would do its pawing thing back and forth. Does that make the house haunted? Or does it make it that something is in the house that is haunting it? It's a weird way of looking at it. Because if a house is haunted by something that was once living, is it really the house or is it them? They move on. If they're not there anymore, the house isn't haunted anymore. Sometimes you get haunted houses that don't necessarily have inhabitants, ghostly inhabitants, that were once living. Sometimes they seem to be things that were from another place. Maybe not even another time, but just a whole other place. Things that you could say never walked the earth. Those are some real scary ones. Those are the ones that I almost really jump on and say, now that's a haunted house. That's one where this is not grandma, grandpa, the cat, whatever. This is something that's choosing to be here to screw with the people that really has no connection to the property. It's just there for some sort of nefarious reason. On today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, we're going to hear a lot about haunted houses. We're going to hear a lot about homes that have things that were once living, still apparently living there on the other side, and somewhere, I don't know if these things were ever living, but they are still very much a part of the reality for the living in these homes. On today's episode, we're going to hear a story of a family that flees a home after a dark force pins their child down to the living room floor late at night. Quite a crescendo to the story. Also, upon returning home for a wedding, a woman discovers the dark energy that drove her away from her childhood home decades ago. It's still there. She kind of moved on. Almost forgot about it. Something didn't forget about her. Also, lovers take a trip to an old family farm to learn about each other's family history, only to discover that something in that history, in that family farm, likes to take over the livings, minds, bodies, doing something. Maybe even call it possession of some sort. That and more. This is EPP bonus episode number 232 of Real Ghost Stories Online. I'm Tony Bursky. Sit back, relax. Ghost stories are on the way. Stay with us. When you have something happen in your home or you have someone in your home that shouldn't be there, usually the first instinct is to think of it being an intruder, of a burglar, of some lost person, maybe have some sort of illness that somehow got confused and went into your property. There's a lot of things that run through your mind, animal maybe. It doesn't always immediately go to ghost. But once you start narrowing the options down, you can't find the person. When they do leave, but then vanish, you kind of start thinking maybe there's something else going on here. Maybe it's not just some confused person. Maybe it's not a burglar. Maybe it's not a squirrel. There's a lot of options. You try and do the logical first. When you finally realize there's something else here, especially when it starts screwing with your kids, when it starts making them have nightmares, when it starts presenting itself to them in very scary ways, when it starts holding them down on the floor, then it's probably time to say, I think we better list this place. Or move out if you're renting. It's a scary proposition. It can be difficult, too, because if you're in an area like Southern California or something, finding a nice home for a reasonable price is not easy. When you found that home that otherwise should be just fine, but it's not the easiest thing just to say, okay, let's pack up and go. We're feeling uncomfortable. It takes something to make you do that. In our next story, we hear of such a case, or it's just a crescendo of events that eventually lead to, okay, we got to go. No matter how good the perks are, no matter how much we like this house, no matter how good the rent is, we have to go. What is that crescendo? What makes them get to that point? Take a listen. I should start off by saying that this is not my story. This is a story of my friend's brother, John. He and his family were living in an apartment while looking for a rental house. His wife's coworker was moving out of the rental house and recommended it to her. The house was a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home in Southern California for around $1,200 a month. Immediately jumping on the bargain, they moved and everything seemed fine. The house was built in the 40s to the 50s. Weirdly, it hadn't been updated in a while. John and his wife and a daughter, who was in high school, they also had a 1-year-old son and a 2nd son on the way. So they met the landlord. They asked if they can paint the nursery, and she tells them, no, my mom doesn't like it when you change the house. The house had been in their family since she first bought it, so they understood. A couple weeks go by, they're settled in. One day they're sitting in the living room, and his wife says to him, I've been feeling the presence of a lady. His wife is sensitive to such things. Is it good? Is it bad? She seems happy. Puts me at ease. Day by day, little by little, every couple of months, things begin to ramp up. There's an entryway when you first enter the house, and the living room is to the left. They're watching TV. Their son's on the floor playing. John's wife tells him, I have this feeling that the lady is watching Jackson and she likes him. She likes that there are kids in the house. Soon after they give birth to their 2nd son, Liam, and that's when more things begin to happen. Footsteps and unusual creaks started being heard throughout the house. At night, from his side of the bed, John could see the end of the hallway and would feel someone watching them from there. He'd stare out. There was a spot that was darker than the rest of the hallway. He'd get a feeling that he really shouldn't be looking at it. Walking down to get something to drink in the middle of the night, still half asleep. Sometimes he'd jerk like he was going to bump into somebody, like his senses telling him there's something there, but there's not. Then he'd feel someone or something walk past him. The kitchen has a pocket door that opens into the living room where they are again. The door is semi-closed and John is sitting on the couch with his back to it. His wife was on the floor playing with their son facing the door, and all of a sudden, she stops and stares at the kitchen door with an oh man expression on her face. John asked her what's wrong, and she grabbed her son and said, you're not going to believe what I just saw. Just tell me. John's looking at the door and doesn't see anything, and she asked, is Caitlin here? No, I just saw fingers wrap around the kitchen door like they were going to slide it open, and then they just disappeared. They vanished. One night, their son Jackson was crying from his bedroom, and John went to tend to him. He was out of his crib and lying on the changing table with his pajamas pulled down. The changing table is about 4 feet high. He asked Jackson what he was doing, who was changing him, and he said, Grandma. Grandma's not here. They moved him back to the sleeping area in the room. Playing in the backyard, Liam in his walker, John and Jackson throwing the ball. John goes into the garage to retrieve the ball, and coming out looking at the boys, Jackson steps in front of Liam, stares at the kitchen window and yells, "He's mine!" "What are you talking to?" He's standing between the kitchen window and his brother. "No, he's mine!" "Jackson, who are you talking to?" No response. "There's no one there, Jackson." And he just went back to normal, leaving to pick up his daughter from work one day. John's wife called him back as he was reaching for the back door in the kitchen to the garage. He went back to the bedroom to see what she wanted. He had left his phone. Going back into the kitchen, the back door is now wide open. But he hadn't opened it. Out of precaution and a weird feeling, he checks the entire house for an intruder. Everything was fine, and he heads out. Then as he's picking up his daughter, his wife calls in a scared panic. "There was somebody in the house. Come back right now." "What are you talking about? There was somebody in the house. There was a man in our house. Get back here right now." John and his daughter rush home to his wife and the boys. "The police just left. I called them, gave them a description of the man. They're out looking for him right now." "Okay, tell me what happened." "I checked the house before I left. After you left, I was in the bedroom putting the boys to sleep, and I heard footsteps in the kitchen coming down the hall. I thought you would come back. I opened the door to ask you what you forgot this time, and a man was standing at the end of the hallway." "What?" "Yeah, a man was standing there at the end of the hallway." "Can you describe him to me?" "He looked like he had just got off work. He was kind of dirty, blue jeans, like a work shirt, standing right there in the hallway. I stepped out of the bedroom, closed the door behind me. I asked if I could help him, and he said, 'I'm just trying to leave.'" Their front door had deadbolt locks, the keys needed on both sides. "Tell him, okay, I'm going to get the keys," trying to calm him down. He repeats, "I'm just trying to leave." That's all he would say. No matter what I said, "I'm just trying to leave." I start walking to get my keys from my purse in the kitchen. I squeeze against the wall to pass by him, keeping eye contact. I didn't want to touch him, and I was afraid of him grabbing me. I could smell him. He smelled like old, stale sweat. I get past him to the kitchen, but my purse isn't there. It was actually in the bedroom, so I had to press by him again. Keeping eye contact, I tell him, "I have to get the keys for the bedroom now. I'm just trying to leave." I get the keys, finally open the front door, and he walks out. I called the cops, and they didn't find anyone matching my description. John is baffled. He knew he had checked the entire house, and the man wouldn't have had enough time to get in through the back door before he got to the kitchen. Later that night, he's in the bathroom brushing his teeth, and he smells a strong body odor hitting him. He calls his wife to the bathroom. "You smell that?" "Yeah, that's him. It smells like that man." The smell would continue to roam and appear throughout the house. After that, John's wife got in contact with a coworker and asked her if she'd experienced anything weird in that house while she was living there. "Yeah, we had some issues with something in that house when we were living there. Our daughter would have these nightmares of a tall shadow man coming out of the closet." When John's wife told him and his daughter what she said, their daughter freaked out. "I have those same dreams. I don't like going into my closet, and I keep the doors closed all the time." It's been 4 or 5 years since they've moved out, and she still has nightmares that she's stuck in that room and the shadow man in the closet. The final event that forced them to move out, John was picking up his daughter from school when he got a frantic call from his wife. "John, you need to come home right now. This house is off the hook. I'm not staying another night in this house, John." "What happened?" "Get home right now," she tells him. I was giving the boys a bath. Liam was in the tub. Jackson was out drying himself off. Something pushed him to the floor and was holding him there. He was struggling to get up and couldn't. John convinced her to sit, have dinner, discuss their options. As they were sitting at the dinner table, they heard heavy footsteps come running from the hallway through the kitchen. Circles them twice, and then went right back down the hall. That was their last day in that house. Well, that wraps up the preview portion of EPP bonus episode number 232 of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to hear the full thing, become an EPP extra podcast person. It is only $5 a month. Go to ghostpodcast.com. You can do it through Patreon as well. The link is there at ghostpodcast.com. get access to the full episode where we're going to hear about the story of a family upon returning for a wedding. A young woman discovers a dark energy that drove her away from that childhood home decades ago. It's still there, still lingering away. Also, lovers taking a trip to an old family farm. They learn about each other's family history. Oh, they learn about it well. They also learn about this dark force that was apparently still there in one of their childhood and is apparently still there trying to take over the minds of the living who visit. It's a dark, weird, just, yeah, it's a good one. One of my favorites. It's in this week's EPP bonus episode, EPP 232. Get it at ghostpodcast.com. That's what keeps this show on the air. That's what supports our program. You get access to this episode, all 232 bonus episodes. You also get advanced episodes of our program as we make them when you're an EPP. And I'm going to give you a free e-copy of our book, Amazon bestseller. It's a $14 value. Yours free when you sign up to be an EPP for $5 a month. You're already coming out ahead immediately when you sign up. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Keep us on the air. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.